Thanks for downloading the Sun Ranto Show for early and ad-free access to the Sun Ranto Show, including a ton of great perks and our Discord server. Please subscribe at patreon.com/sunranto for as little as a dollar a month. There are free trial memberships available. patreon.com/sunranto. Don't make me tell you again.
Kobe blue blood flowing through our veins. Sitting in the bleachers in the rain. We've shed a million tears and drank as many old South beers out at the game. Let's go, Kobe, Sun Ranto. Sun Ranto. Sun Ranto and the lovable loser. Sun Ranto. Sun Ranto. Sun Ranto and the lovable losers. Sun Ranto.
You can't hear me?
No, no, I could hear you, and then I can't hear you.
So...
Yeah, we're going to have to pre-record it, I think. Oh, God. This StreamYard has ruined our show. Well, we're off to a fabulous start. Nice screaming, Michael, even though it was cut up by wondering if we could hear it, each other, but... Hi!
I tried to back off the mic so that it wouldn't be, you know...
Hey,
like
you gotta go old school with a Ranto!
Oh, looks like someone just got a new job and someone just lost a job.
My throat thanks you.
Well, welcome to the Sun Ranto Show. My name's Danny Rocket. That was the voice of Infield Fly Girl you just heard and Michael Cotton.
Howdy.
We are here tonight to talk about the demise of the Chicago Cubs on this day, that December 14th, 2023. And this show is brought to you by the Bleacher Bunch Productions on the Fans First Network and all the great shows like Cup of Cubby Blue and the Cubs PS Plus podcast, which actually sponsors the show. And if you would, go leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts and let everybody know all about us, because it helps us a lot. It's also brought to you especially by our 110 Patreon supporters. Thank you so much for being a supporter of the Sun Ranto Show. Free trials are available at patreon.com/sunranto. And of course, we've got some very special sponsors of our shows. Blake Beard's tickets at The Blake Beard, and also Lawrence at Rogue Wave Creative. So thank you very much. And hashtag chance in the chat tonight. And we're going to do two chance giveaways this evening because I screwed up last week's chance giveaway and nobody really got entered except for the five people that were still watching the show at the time. So hashtag chance in the chat right now. And you could win a message of love and doom sent to you by me on this handy dandy chance postcard. Two of you will win tonight, and you will also win, you'll be entered to win the huge chance prize, which we're going to give away next year and the last show of the year. What's everybody drinking tonight? IFG, you go first. What do you got? You got two beers on deck.
I'm undecided. I have two. I've got from Ruben's Brews here locally in the Seattle area. I've got a triple IPA called Gobsmacked. And then over here from
What's the what's the ABV on that one?
This one 10%.
Oh shit. You're gonna start with that one?
I wouldn't worry about that. I really wouldn't worry about that 10%, because I've heard that you can defer like 90% of that alcohol until
stand up at the end of the show.
Yeah, till midnight. It'll just hit you. It'll hit you late, right before bed.
Speaking of paying for it, my other one here is from Lemire Brewing and Vice Beer. It's called Suitcase Full of Cash.
Mm.
And that's a West Coast IPA. And this one is a much lighter 7%.
Here in Chicago, we have Wheelbarrow Full of Cash. That's what we have here.
I'm feeling that Suitcase Full of Cash.
That's what I'm thinking.
What's the ABV on that one?
7.
All right. Yeah, that's one to start with, I'd say. Yeah, they make them too strong. And not too strong, but you know, sometimes you just want to have a beer. Like one day, me and Nicole, we were in, I believe, San Diego, and we were drinking this, like, Not My Father's Root Beer, ends up being like an 8%. And those things were going down real smooth at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon before the game. By 4 o'clock, we're in a fight. You know,
I went to my favorite local pizza pub here. We do trivia on Wednesday nights when we're not recording. And, you know, every time I go there, I make like some baseball pun as our team name. So this year this week, we were the Los Angeles Tax Dodgers. But I had this beer there. It's called Black Tuesday. It was this nice stout. I'm a big porters and stouts girl. And this thing was 20%.
Oh my God.
It was amazing. So good. I got a tiny little glass of it and
That's more than wine.
Yeah. Like a regular wine's going to be like 13-15% maybe.
You're right. That's liquor.
You're getting your spirits at that point. You know, spirits are like, you know, 40, you know, 35.
But the thing is that spirits, distilled spirits here in Seattle have an extra 20% tax added to them. And that's why all of the Seattle area beers are so fucking strong, because nobody wants to buy liquor. Because it's 20% more than the sticker price.
Yeah, well, I remember being out there when I was much younger and not understanding how strong beer was in Seattle and just getting wasted.
Yeah,
you're getting thrown out of bars left and right.
It's just like a Coors Light, right?
I can drink 7 of these. Should be fine. Well,
what do you got, Michael?
You know, in my family, my wife insists that we do this Advent thing. Right. You know what that is? You get 24 little gifts. Mm-hmm. So we only started that because of the COVID year, 2020, right? Like everything was bad. So we decided to do this. I thought we were only doing it that 1 year. Well, now I'm stuck buying all sorts of shit every year for everybody else. But for me, I get 24 beers. And Emily gave me this beer for my Advent. It's a special one she wanted me to have on this show because that is a Munster Alt from Pincus Brewery. You can't read because of the light, but it says
Pincus
right there.
Very nice. And we have
Munster, Germany, the world's oldest organic brewery.
Very nice. So what is that, 1978 or something? 82?
No, it's an old bottle. I don't know. I mean, I'm excited. I'm gonna try it out. I'm a little concerned. I think I might like it, but there's a very good chance it'll disagree with me, right, Danny?
Pincus usually disagrees with you, but tonight is your night to maybe disagree with Pincus of the John variety, because he's got a Cubs Carol coming up in Act 3 of our show tonight. Ooh. So stay tuned for that. And Michael Cotton, I really do like that John Baker Day hoodie you're wearing there. I'm going to drop the link to our Spreadshirt shop right now. You can actually pick up one of these John Baker. That's now a classic shirt. We're going up on the 10-year anniversary of John Baker Day, so that's turning into like vintage Cubs clothing now.
That is like a.
How do you like this?
It's weird.
It's weird.
Yeah, this is not
that tracks with the John variety of Pincus. I know it's weird.
So this reminds me of a very Belgian sort of beer, like
I love a Belgian
Delirium Tremens.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I haven't had one of those in a long time, but I think it's something similar to that. Not what I normally drink because I don't like the sweeter beers, but it's not bad. I would recommend it definitely to people who do like something like the Delirium.
Cool. Well, hashtag chance in the chat. I'll say it one more time, if not 50 more times before this show is over. But I would like to sincerely congratulate the Houston Astros of Houston, who are now not the most hated team in baseball anymore. The evil empire of the, you know, the cheating liar pantses are now replaced with the cheating Dodgers, who didn't technically cheat, but it's just
everybody's going to hate me on this show.
Why? Because you're like, good for the Dodgers.
I don't have any problem with the Dodgers.
I don't. I, I text
all the hate out there for the Dodgers.
I hated the Dodgers before it was cool. That's what I'm saying. Oh. I hated the Dodgers for far different other reasons. Number one, for them having the assholiest fans in the world. Now they're going to be even more insufferable, which is not helpful for us. They're going to miss at least two of Ohtani's at-bats per game because they don't show up till the fourth. And they're going to miss his walk-off home run at the end of the game because they're already in their car on the freaking 101. So, but yeah, not a great time to be a fan of any other National League baseball team because it looks like the Dodgers just going to run away with it. I want to check in with IFG, though, because, you know, Ohtani's, you know, you've had your heart set on this since he came into the major leagues, probably.
Yeah. And, you know, as a Cubs fan, I always have kind of rose-colored glasses when it comes to this team. You know, we all do. Like, we compartmentalize our brain, right? We're like, all of this stuff is what we're mad about. We know that we've been lovable losers for a gajillion years, and we never really do anything right. But, like, part of me is like, why wouldn't the best player in baseball want to play for this team in this beautiful ballpark, in this city, with this fan base, with, you know, all of the history behind it, and you know, that beautiful uniform, and like, why wouldn't they? And we've got the money to do it. We're one of the richest teams in baseball. We pay the most money as fans. Why wouldn't the best baseball player ever want to come play for us? And it turns out that he doesn't want to come play for us because we've been spending the last 10 years going, getting is the wild card ish. Most of the time sorta is good enough. And the freaking Dodgers are getting into the playoffs every year for 10 years. They win a World Series, and they're like, that's not good enough. That's failure. We have failed. We need to do more. We need to do better. We need to keep building. We need to do da-da-da-da-da. We want to win. And that attitude, that we need to win, and we need to win now, and we need to win more, and we need to win forever. We need to build a winning culture in our team, that is the reason why Shohei Ohtani wanted to be a Dodger. It's not because LA is closer to Japan. If that were the reason, he would be a Mariner. There is a direct flight from SeaTac Airport 7 times a day. He wants to go there because they are serious about spending money to win and doing what it takes, and the Chicago Cubs are not. And that is why Shohei Ohtani didn't even give us a serious consideration.
Do you know you know that gif of the Academy Awards where they stand up and all clap?
Yeah.
That's what I wish I could just post on what you just said. Yeah. No,
absolutely. Everything you just said was absolutely correct. And, you know, whoever, there are people out there that'll tell you Cubs were in on this. Well, no. The Cubs wanted to be in on this. They wanted to be in on this, but not in Shohei's mind. Like, never. And a few weeks back, I was listening to the Recap podcast, and Gordon Whitmire was talking about how he asked Shohei before about the first time he was signing a contract about Chicago, and Shohei was basically like, yeah, don't believe everything you hear.
Yeah, meaning right? He never considered us even then. And I thought, let me just put up a graphic here. This is from Shy Sport Updates. I don't know if this guy's a guy, but he talked about something that Tom Verducci said, and it was that the Cubs were never really an option for Shohei Ohtani, and he never seriously considered signing with them.
It's because if you wanted to sign Shohei Ohtani, you needed to start preparing to be the team that Shohei Ohtani wanted to play for 5 years ago. When you didn't get him the first time.
Yeah, because apparently he doesn't care about the money.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's getting plenty of money. I mean, it's going to be deferred. I mean, and can we just talk about a little bit about this contract? Because it's all totally legal. But it also, there's a lot of things that are technically legal, especially when it comes to financial things, that are absolutely a railroady scam. And that's what this is. This is a scam, boogity scam. And the fact is, it was supposed to be put in place. I mean, competitive balance tax is neither competitive, balanced, or an actual tax. It's none of those things.
No, it's a de facto salary cap is what it is.
It's a de facto, and that's, but it didn't even work. It didn't even work as that because let's say let me put up a TFC real quick. I'm going to blow one of mine for that I have for later, but I wrote that the Dodgers are going to be the 27 Yankees and pay for it in 37. And Chicago Beer on Sunday, or at Not Metaphoric, says it was a controversial choice at the time, but hiring Wimpy to be GM turned out to be a master stroke.
Oh my God. That is like, that is a 100-year-old reference.
It is.
Like 1930s Popeye cartoons.
Yeah. And that, of course, if you don't know, is this weird guy. I don't know who this dude is, but he never had any money and he always wanted a hamburger. So he'd come up, he'd say, I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. And, you know, if that's the case, there's a couple things that worry me. First of all, are we just going to be wiping our butt with money in 10 years because it's worth so little due to inflation? Because they're discounting this thing at like 6% a year. And if a billionaire is just being like, oh yeah, money's not going to be worth anything in the future, I got no problem doing this and paying it off in 10 years, then we're screwed. The whole society.
First of all, I'm vintage 1985. I had to Google it.
Okay. Yes, there it is. You never saw that? He's this weird dude. Like nobody, first of all, the Popeye cartoon, not great. It was even old fashioned when we were kids, because it was from literally like 1910. It was in black and white, and it was really strangely misogynistic in this weird way. Olive oil was creepy and not hot in any way. Like, you know, even my like little 7-year old, you know, I was just like, everything's wrong about this thing. I don't know who it appealed to, but yeah, Wimpy was one of the odder characters in an already odd show.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So, This rule is on the books. It's in the CBA. The teams can defer money for as long as forever, and ultimately it's the free agent's decision whether or not to take the contract. Now, Shohei Ohtani, being the unicorn that he is, he's going to make like $50 million a year in Yakult and New Balance advertisements. Like, he doesn't – like, this $2 million is not going to be his bread and butter, right? So he is uniquely in a position to be able to afford to wait to take his money until after he retires. Now, I am notably terrible at money and I don't know anything about it. I am not an accountant. But my brain starts wondering, when you're getting into money that's that big, taxes are a really big deal. And then if you are a person who lives in California, you're really concerned about taxes because they're really high there, which is why so many free agents want to go play in like Florida and Texas, where they don't pay for social services or roads or whatever. And then I start thinking, well, in 10 years after he retires, he's probably going to move back to Japan because he's not an American citizen. He's here to work. So what happens to that deferred money when he's in Japan? Is California ever going to see a dime of this contract?
I don't know.
Yeah. So
how much money is he going to save paying taxes?
I saw you tweet that. You said, because something tells me the real loser here is the state of California.
And, right?
Yeah, you've been asking this question, and I was hoping you got an answer. But apparently,
I don't have a good answer. Like, I've read the Japan-U.S. tax treaty, which was most recently updated in 2019. I know it's there to prevent citizens from either country who work in the other country from being like double taxed. So I don't know if he would be subjected on that deferred money to the lower Japanese national tax rate, or if he would have to pay U.S. income, retirement, whatever taxes. And then there's something about California taxing certain retirement income differently. So if he waits to take this money until it's retirement income, it might be taxed lower than just regular old money.
Yeah,
it's all very tax dodgery. The Los Angeles tax dodgers, and now Shohei's just
No, and I'm obviously I'm not an accountant either. I will play one here on the Sun Ranto show
and make shit up. Good but for you.
First, I want to address what Danny was saying about how money's just not going to be worth anything in the future. Well, that's not how they look at it. What they're looking at is how they did this number, you end up getting a $46 million tax hit, right?
Right.
So technically, if I'm understanding it correctly, they have to pay $2 million to Ohtani, actually give him $2 million. The right. $44 million, the other $44 million, they, it's not like that's just not being given. They have to hold that in some sort of like an escrow or some sort of an account so it's there if they need it right then. Like they can't. So it's not like he's going to make $20 million over the next 10 years and the Dodgers won't put out a single dime. So what they do is they take that $44 million and then they move it into whatever interest-bearing thing that they have.
And they're making money that way.
$44 million over the next 10 years becomes $68 million. So the Dodgers will not actually pay $70 million. They will pay $460 million. But because of the way that they, because of the way compound interest works and how they can put this away and move it back, it will, they'll get an extra 10 years on this. And they're looking at like, if it's like 6% or whatever, they will actually not have to pay the extra, what is it? $14 million on that.
Well, here's something.
But if it makes more money than that, Ohtani's not getting that. So if they can make that $44 million turn into $75 million,
then they're making money on the money that they're going to pay him. But here's exactly. What my friend, my, I had a friend, Tony, Bleacher Tony, is an actual accountant. He is a stock guy. And he said, I just did the math on the present value of Ohtani's contract versus Judge. So he compared it to Aaron Judge. Said, for Judge, the present value of $40 million in cash flows over 9 years with a 6% discount rate is $272 million. For Ohtani, the present value of $2 million in annual cash flows over the next 10 years, then $68 million annually over the next 10 years with the same 6% discount rate is $287 million. Basically, the Dodgers just got away with paying Ohtani only $15 million more than Judge.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And
why didn't we do it?
Well,
because
see,
he didn't want us because we don't like to win baseball games.
Exactly.
First off, I had not look, I went out on Twitter right before this and was looking for this.
That's great.
And I couldn't find it, so I made it myself. This is this is going to be their new jerseys. I hope they're going to do away with the patches and it's just going to. Or it's going to say it's going to be some accounting firm or some shit right above Dodgers. Like,
yeah, it's like when my team was sponsored by Al's Radio and Hardware. And that'll be like Ohtani sponsored by Jackson Hewitt.
Yeah. You know? Jackson Hewitt tax and then right under it, Dodgers.
Well, you saw that Joe from Obvious Shirts was right on it, too. So he had this out right away.
The only thing I saw that came even close to it, and by the time I saw it, you already had it in the brand.
Yeah, Cub fans are already pissed off, seemingly more than Giants fans who got their own shiny new toy. He's from Korea, Jung Hoo Lee, but he's actually was born in Japan, which I didn't know until I went to his baseball reference page. He plays in Korea, was born in Japan. But they got somebody 6 years. He played for Kiwoom, 898 OPS outfielder, which, of course, we don't need because we have 83 of them with no trade clauses. But we got it. We can't get off the Dodgers quite yet because some serious news broke right before we went on this show, though, unless you want to talk more about Ohtani. I mean,
I did want to mention though, like everybody's upset about this, and Danny said, like, why isn't everybody doing it? My thing is, why isn't everybody doing it? And I have heard people being very upset and thinking this is going to ruin baseball. And I'm looking at this from a different direction. I think this could save baseball. If you don't have to pay guys right away, if you can defer the way that they did with him, like, there's no reason we can't go out and get Bellinger for 8 years, $35 million.
There's never going to be a reason to not get the guy that you want to get.
Because now you can work it out so that it's not hitting your CBT. You can artificially keep the CBT number on your team below the threshold, which is really the only thing that they worry about. This, it is a salary cap, but now they've seen, oh, this is how we do it. We don't ever have to, we can get a whole team of $200 million guys.
If they agree.
Put them on our Capital One credit card and pay them 10 years from now.
What's in your wallet?
Exactly. But here's, but the thing is.
And then you're going to, you know, hamstring your budget 10 years down the road. So sorry, yeah. Kids. When well, you grew up, your team is no, like, oh, sorry, we're still paying. We're still no, paying that, Jack no, Flaherty.
That money doesn't go against the CBT. No, in 2034, when they start paying them the rest of that money, that's not going to go against that team.
It won't go against the CBT, but they literally have to pay the actual money. You know, I mean.
But I just explained how they're going to do it.
To do it, yeah. That they're going to. Well, that, I mean, I'm sorry.
They'll
but
actually
this,
make
this sounds,
money on it.
I don't know. It sounds like bullshit. It sounds like this time it's different. It sounds like, oh, the housing market never loses value. It sounds all like that. It sounds all like that. Even today. Even today, that's, the Fed said they're going to lower interest rates. That was yesterday, and there was a bond bloodbath in the market because they're like, oh, God, it's not going to be 8% anymore. They're going to flood everything with cash, and the stocks went up. Like, it is all messed up. They're not going to be able to park it in a CD like some freaking old grandma from 1982 who bought it underneath the – no, but know, I'm dating but Danny, myself with weird
Danny, you're absolutely right. They're – something bad could happen along the way. There could be some sort of a downturn in the economy.
Could.
You know, and there if it doesn't be. Come, and I mean, yes, it will be. But these guys have so much money that it's not going to affect them the same way. Now, can
inflation is
the
garbage.
Royals do the same thing that the Dodgers did? No, they've never been able to. But there's no reason that they can't go out and get one of these $300 million guys now. They've shown us the way. There's no reason for any of these teams to do this. We have had the Ricketts and Jed Hoyer fucking telling us for so long they don't want to go above the CBT. They don't want to go above the CBT. Well, now we know you don't have to. So get your shit together and start fucking doing these contracts. Everybody is upset that the Dodgers did this, and
they're upset at their team.
They hate the Dodgers. No, I love the Dodgers because the Dodgers are fucking smart. They want to win. They keep going out there and trying to do it, and they're figuring out ways to do it. And then everybody gets mad and says, oh, this is going to ruin baseball. No, this just made your favorite team able to go out and get a $300 million guy because now they know how to do it. And everybody who says, oh, well, they have to agree to only get $2 million a year. If you can't fucking live on $2 million a year in any of these states,
yeah,
any of them.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that.
That's a huge problem. That's not a baseball problem. But get your shit together.
But Mike Waller from the Cubs PS Plus podcast brings up a good point that the biggest question about the deferral is how many guys will do it. I know, but I don't. He goes, not everyone is making 50 million endorsements. And I'm sorry. At some level, though, 2 million to some of these guys that have already, like Ohtani's been making 30 million. Dude, 2 million.
Just look. Hey, hey.
He's not going to do it. He would do
it. You and me and IFG all know how to live within our fucking means.
I'm not saying
now,
it's not impossible.
If our means happen to be 2 million,
but then why? But it's why different. Would you? But why would you let the Dodgers have that interest and not you? That's the question. Why Ohtani did it because he already had the 50 million and he
because
already had.
Because
no, let me finish.
You can get more money that way. You can get more money that way.
You can get more money if you could get $70 million in your bank account, starting to earn 6% for yourself, not
but
for the
Dodgers.
But it
doesn't fucking matter. Like, that's what I don't get. Like, people don't understand. Like, you can still, just because $2 million is low for a player of his caliber, it doesn't mean at all.
He has to pay agents, publicists. Perfectly They've got to travel a million times a season. You're dragging your family hither, thither, and yon all the time. You're paying for private schools so your kids have security. It's expensive to be rich. I'm sorry.
It is.
Not everybody's going to want to do it for $1 million and whatever, like, Wheaties box they can get slapped
on. If more people do it, then I will agree, Michael, that it was just as oversight and any team could do it. But I just don't see a lot of guys telling the team that they can hold on to the money and gain the interest that they could be getting that entire time on a serious amount of money when you could be managing yourself. You could be investing it the way you want. You could be
like
changing
all of that,
your
all
family's
of that money,
life.
Dogs,
but
all
if,
of that
but if
money,
they won't give you, if they won't give you that money in the first place, right?
Then they don't get the baseball player.
Then they don't get him. If the Dodgers wouldn't have done this, who knows? Like, maybe that contract's a lot lower. Maybe nobody's willing to go to $700 million. That's how $700 million happened. But then again,
I'm saying, I think that's how you raise. You can get more money. And Danny, while you are correct that you could be investing the money and making more money and all this stuff, that's the same bullshit that the fucking the cons in, you know, are telling people all the time about taxes. It doesn't fucking matter. Like, once you make, if you can make $150 million versus $80 million, that's still $70 million more, even if you have to wait for it to get most of it.
It's all theoretical until people start doing it, though. I agree, but it's all theoretical. Nobody wants to do it, though.
We don't know if nobody wants to do it.
Well, let's see if it happens more. And if it doesn't happen more, then it's a shitty deal. Because right now, the Dodgers are making all the money in escrow. And who isn't making the money on the money is Ohtani, because he already has money to make on the money. So I'm just saying, if other people are willing to do it, then we'll know that it was a good idea. If it might just be a unicorn, because just like Ohtani's unicorn. That's what I'm saying. We should see. We got to move on. I don't want to talk about it.
Your team could try to work deals just like this. People are just saying this type of deal is bad, and I'm saying this type of deal is not. This type of deal allows smaller teams
to defer money and possibly get people
to come to them.
I disagree. They don't have the cash flow. Nobody would give
Mr.
them the rent.
Mr. Fourth Row here says, what stops a team from signing 26 All-Stars for $1 million each? And the answer is literally nothing. There is nothing against it in the CBT. It's totally allowed. You just have to find 26 people who are willing to work for $1 million a year.
Right. Period. You just have to, like Danny says, you got to get them to agree to it. And I agree. Right. It humans may not want to do that. But what I'm saying is that this opens up the possibility for teams to be able to do it. Now, whether or not you can sell a player on that, that's a different thing. Yeah. I'm just saying that there's no longer any reason for a team to just say, too much money, we're out.
Yeah, we can't do it at all. Well, and I disagree with that, because I don't think that the Orioles can come up with like a $700 million future money either. I don't think you got to go to the bank for that money.
I'm not talking about $700 million. I'm talking about the $200-300 million deals. Well,
they wouldn't have to do a deal like that. They actually have that cash flow. The Cubs, like, teams already have that cash flow.
I know,
to get it
but
that high, nobody's got the money.
But they still don't want to fucking do it, because then it'll take them above this bullshit CBT, and then they'll have to give money to other people, and that's what they don't want to do. And like I said, it shouldn't be called the competitive balance tax. It should be called the winner's club, and every fucking owner would have their team in the fucking winner's club every year, because that would be great. But they call it a tax.
Well, guess who's in the winner's club? Tyler Glasnow. He's in the winner's club along with Manny Margot, who got traded from the Rays. They were Glasnow, at least, was rumored to be a Cubs target. He is now on the Dodgers, going to win it all next year in the World Series against the Houston Astros. Everybody knows it's happening. Mark it up now. They got a couple of prospects, a pitcher and an outfielder, I believe Johnny DeLuca. Yeah, he's an outfielder, it says right there. And Glasnow is looks like he's going to sign an extension. So I don't know. I didn't really care about Glasnow. I know he's a good pitcher, but he was hurt, you know, a lot. So I wasn't that excited. But the rich get richer. And anyway, it's just freaking. And Joey says, "Where's our shiny new toy?"
I'll show. He's right here. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the wrong one. That one. There we go. Yeah, we got ourselves a Jorge Alfaro on a minor league deal with an invitation to spring training, which, you know, that's my annual notification that the Cubs don't plan on doing shit is they hire a hot new backup catcher for us to drool over in the spring and forget about by May.
So somebody showed that San Diego picture of him, and they put on there, was he on the Savannah Bananas? And I totally was like, holy shit, we signed a guy from the Savannah Bananas? Because that uniform absolutely looks like something that would be on their field.
It really does.
So just to go through a couple other notable signings besides Jorge Alfaro, which I am actually, you know, the flow on this team.
He is so fun.
Yeah, he's fun. I mean, he's going to be a third catcher, even fourth.
Go to Des Moines if you want to enjoy Jorge Alfaro.
Yeah, look at all that hair. He's been on a lot of teams. Sure. He's going to spend his time as a kind of journeyman backup catcher. He's on the wrong side of 30, but he's, you know, little insurance in the catcher. We've been kind of missing that recently. We got PJ Higgins back.
He looks like he'd be fun to hang out with, though.
He does look like totally. Jason Momoa. Yeah, he does.
He just took a baseball to the face in the Dominican Winter League about a couple weeks ago and ended up with 13 stitches in his jaw. So he'll probably have a nice new scar, too.
We like those injured guys. Like, the moment you
take a baseball to the face, the Cubs are like, oh, man, we got to get that guy.
we can look at Alfaro's stats real quick as long as we're talking about him. We can skip around with this. He has a pretty long career. As I said, he's the wrong side of 30, but just the wrong side of 30. He is one of those guys that really benefited from that juicy ball back in 2019.
Bring it back.
18 home runs down to three. That was 2020, but then four in 2021, and then seven. And then he really has fallen off. He hasn't hit above. He did not hit above 200 last year. In fact, it was pretty abysmal. So we'll see what he can do from a catching standpoint. We're looking at like your fourth string catcher, but I wanted to bring on our friend Crawley to talk about some kind of pretty exciting news about the return. Possibly now, at least he's on the ballot. We'll see what's happening. But Crawley, what do you know? Here comes Crawley telling us all about Sammy Sosa. Welcome. From the Fly the W like podcast.
Here comes Crawley. Here comes Crawley.
Yeah, what's going on, man?
I'm Chubby Lane.
Hi, Crawley.
Are we talking Cubs carols yet? What are we talking here?
Well, you're early, so no, we're not there yet. But but I wanted to talk about, because you broke a little news the other day. Of course, it really didn't take off as news until I retweeted you. But
that's when it really got some traction, man.
It really got some traction.
That's why I tag you on this stuff.
Yeah. So you tweet, according to former Cubs beat writer Bruce Miles, Sammy Sosa is on the ballot for the Cubs Hall of Fame. It's voted on by an independent committee made up of living Cubs Hall of Famers and various sports journalists. This is the first year Sammy's on the ballot. And what's that all about? What's going on? How'd you find this out?
For those of you that aren't aware, Bruce Miles was the longtime Cubs beat writer for the Daily Herald. Great guy, great writer. And he had a book out about the franchise. He co-wrote it with Jesse Rogers, and he was at a local library right by my house. So why not I just go over there and say hi to Bruce? I already had the book and, you know, just kind of catch up for a minute and whatnot. And so, you know, it's a room full of, you know, senior citizens who go to the library and me. And we are sitting there, and he brings up this, you know, the topic of Sammy Sosa. And, you know, he kind of asked the crowd, well, who likes Sammy? Who thinks he belongs in the Hall of Fame? You know, and it's just kind of a very mixed reaction, as, you know, Sammy tends to get. And Bruce said, well, there's a way that Sammy can come back to Chicago without, you know, because it's always been between this stalemate between him and Tom Ricketts that's been going on. Tom Ricketts wants an apology. Sammy ain't giving him no damn apology. And that's where we stand 13 years later, right? So at this point in time, you know, Bruce, I've known this for a while, is on the Cubs Hall of Fame committee. Last year, they put in Sean Dunston and Mark Grace. The year before that, they put in Pat Hughes and Jose Cardinal. And so the committee is made up of Cubs Hall of Famers and journalists. There's different journalists that are on this committee. David Haw, Carrie Muskrat, you remember her? Was the Cubs
beat? Did you say Muskrat?
Muskrat.
He absolutely
What'd
did.
I say?
You said I'm Muskrat. Tired.
You did. You said.
I did not say Muskrat. Someone check the tape. I probably did anyway. Who else am I? Now you get me off track.
Poor,
who else am
poor I Carrie about? Muskrat. She's so wonderful and just
a, she's the nicest lady in the world.
She really
and,
is.
And Peggy Kaczynski. I got the Kaczynski name right. Okay. Peggy Kaczynski. I'm trying to think who else. David Hawes on there, a bunch of people. So basically, for the first time this year, so I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I was like, wait a second. Sammy is on this ballot? So, you know, it's over, and everybody's getting their book signed. I go up to Bruce. I'm like, Bruce, I've never heard that Sammy's been on the ballot. He's like, yeah, it's the first year. I was like, oh, okay.
Nobody knows, yeah.
So nobody knows yet that this is a possibility. So here's the real deal right now is that the Cubs are going to go all in on 1984. For those of us of a certain age, that was the team that pretty much brought us into the fold. And so this is going to be the 40th anniversary of 1984. Ryan Sandberg is going to get a statue on Statue Row. And my belief is that what you're going to see are two Cubs get into the Cubs Hall of Fame, maybe three from that 84 team. I think it's a pretty sure lock that Jody Davis will be on there. Leon Durham would be another one. I don't know if they would do the Sarge and Bobby D, but I think that's what's going to happen. But then after that, the question is, okay, who's going to be in the Cubs Hall of Fame? And so when you kind of start looking down the list, Sammy is just clearly the most glaring omission. So,
100%.
You know, right. Tom Ricketts can say, well, this is independent. I didn't invite Sammy back. And Sammy can say, I didn't have to apologize. And what ends up happening is we can actually celebrate Sammy Sosa at Wrigley Field. No one's saying he has to be an ambassador or anything like that, but just to have him around, you know, come around, throw out a pitch, sing a stretch. I think, you know, for a generation of Cub fans, he was the one that really kind of got things going. And if you were like me, I was, you know, in my teens in the 90s, Cubs sucked. They're just god-awful teams. Go take a look at some of those dumpster fire teams. You guys wouldn't be complaining right now, I mean, compared to the 90s teams. And so it really
I didn't even
was,
watch. They sucked so bad, I didn't even pay attention.
It's so funny. I think in like 2016, they put the all-time great Cubs, and they had like every position. And then like in the 90s, it's like such a laugh. It's like Steve Buscell, I think, is on the list or something. You're just like, really? Like Rick
Mark
Wilkins?
Grace, I guess.
You know, yeah, Grace is the guy in the 90s you think about, and Sammy, obviously. But so I think that – you know, he really kind of was the guy that electrified Wrigley Field, the home run chase with McGuire. And I laugh because I think so much about how everyone's like, oh, the steroids. You know how many people were on steroids in the 90s? I mean, it really.
Everybody
just essentially. It's
everybody. Yeah, right. They all were.
I was out in the Shy Cubs Reddit and people talking about this, and there were people out there complaining about the steroids and stuff. And like the response to that was, have you been to Boston? Like, have you been to San Francisco? All those teams had guys who literally popped hot. Like Sammy never technically popped hot. I mean, none of us are Pollyanna enough to believe that he wasn't doing anything, but they actually got caught, and yet everybody celebrates them. St. Louis celebrates
McGuire.
They all celebrate their guys, and yet you still have people around the Cubs that are like, can't
well,
break
not even around
yes,
the Cubs.
My girls, look at I this. Can't believe it.
Look at this. Let me put up this graphic. Here's Joe. He's the kind of released that he's having a video chat with Sammy Sosa. We all know that last year at Club 400, Stewart got Sammy on the phone through his batting coach. Is that
it was one of his hitting coaches, one of his guys. Yeah, Julian Martinez.
So we're talking to him at Club 400, being like, "Yeah, Sammy, come back. He wants to come back." We got Joe at Obvious Shirts trying to make moves with Sammy Sosa. We got Stu making moves with Sammy Sosa. The only person that doesn't want Sammy Sosa back is Tom Ricketts. Look at this Sammy Sosa poll that I put up. What will you do when the Cubs bring back Sammy to Wrigley? 3.7% said boo. 87.8% said cheer. And sit on your hands is 8.6%.
No, that says sit in hands.
I know. I wrote sit in
hands.
So don't give me shit about Kerry Muskrat.
It's sit in hands. And when I read it, I read shit in hand. And I was like, wow, that took a turn there for that third choice.
That's what Moises Alou did.
8% if you're going to shit in your hand.
Yeah, Moises Alou did that to get a good grip on the bat. He just would have a diarrhea hands and go up there and let it dry. Now,
I know he's one of the most awful people in the world, but do you remember Curt Schilling was actually one of the guys that spoke out against the steroid scandal? And he was in Sports Illustrated. He was quoted as saying, you know, he would walk down the steps and, you know, give a guy a pat in the bump and he would say, ow, you know, like everybody was literally doing this stuff. And it's not to excuse it. But again, this has been going on in baseball throughout history. Literally, guys would be popping greenies nonstop in the 60s and 70s. There's a famous story, and Glenn Becker.
Oh, they were still doing it into the 2000s. Like, just because we were focused on steroids didn't mean that they weren't doing those greenies.
Right. And so there's a famous story Glenn Becker used to tell at Cubs convention. And the way the story goes is that he was roommates with Ron Santo. And Ron Santo, obviously, we all know the story, was diabetic and tried to hide the fact that he was diabetic from the team. He was scared that they would cut him, that they would not pay him, etc. And so you know, Beckert and Santo are roommates, and Beckert said, hey, I got to get going. I'm going to go run down and grab a drink really quick. Santo leaves the room, or I'm sorry, Beckert leaves the room, and then he forgets something. He comes back in the room a couple minutes later. He opens the bathroom door, and there's Santo injecting himself with insulin. And the way that Becker would tell the story is he would say, Santo's hitting 301. I'm hitting 231. And I get pissed. I said, hey, Rumi, give me some of what you're taking right over there. So, again, if you really want to be the holier than thou person, whatever. I go for it, I guess. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I love
that people think that Sammy's going to come back no matter what. They just have to vote him in and then he'll come back. I mean, they've put plaques up for dead people, did not bring them back. I'm just saying that there's no reason that, I mean, just because we want that to happen, Sammy might be standing over on the sidewalk in front of Hotel Zachary like, hey guys, you're celebrating me. And he's just not allowed on the property.
I mean, I think he wants a lot of money. So what were you going to say, IFG?
You know, just, I was a younger kid in the late 90s. I did not see those early 90s Cubs teams. I was raised by Mets fans. And then I moved to Florida, and there wasn't a team, and then there was a team, but then it was blacked out. We couldn't watch the games. But then the Cubs were on WGN, and my introduction to this baseball team was sitting at my grandparents' kitchen table watching Sammy Sosa hit dingers out of Wrigley Field. And that is why I'm here today. And if anybody, and I am not the only one by a long shot, there is an entire generation of Cubs fans who jumped on that bandwagon in 1998. And they are baseball fans to this day because of Sammy Sosa.
All I can tell you is
that reason alone, I do not give a shit less about the steroids or the arguments or why Tom Ricketts doesn't like him. For that reason and for that reason alone, for the fact that Sammy Sosa is the reason why an entire generation of kids fell in love with the Chicago Cubs, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, the regular Hall of Fame, but at the very least, the Cubs Hall of Fame.
And then there's a couple of people in the chat reminding us about the corked bat. Little Yumper says the corked bat. And Ann T also says that she never liked Sosa because of the corked bat and never got good vibes. I mean, yeah, he was kind of I don't think he was a very popular player amongst his teammates because he kind of did his own thing. But
I'm surprised by not having the good vibes because the biggest thing that I remember about Sammy at the time was absolutely smiling. Face of the franchise while he was there, smiling, the hop, going out into the field, waving
to the fans.
Yeah, to the fans. No. I'm saying what I remember, right? As a fan, the fans, and that's why I'm like kind of surprised about that. The idea that his teammates didn't really like him. I guess if you were super close to the team, you might have known that earlier, but that didn't really come out until later. You know, until sort of right after he left, then you started to hear the rumblings that, yeah, they kind of thought he was a dick.
So a lot of people forget that on the last game of the season in 2004, he walked out on the team, and that still rubs a lot of people the wrong way. And so, he lied about it too. He said, oh, I left in the seventh. And then the Cubs were fucking pissed and they released the security cam and he left after the first inning. And then he started saying, well, Dusty said I could leave and all this stuff. So here's the thing about Sammy is that, you know, some of these guys, you meet them and he's always just been kind of a weird dude. Good with the media, very good with the media, very good with the fans, all that stuff. But in the clubhouse, he was a guy that would sit there and he would, regardless of what anyone wanted, he would take his boombox and just blast his music. When he left in 2004, no one knows who did it, but they busted up his boombox with a baseball bat. He would come in super late to spring training. All the guys are working in, and then it would be like this big circus. He would say, it's my house. He'd have a bunch of guys in there that weren't on the team and like stuff that nobody else was allowed to do. There was kind of like the Sammy rules. So I guess the way I always tell people is it kind of goes back to like Frankenstein's monster. The Cubs didn't have a problem with this when Sammy was making them hand over fist dollars, when he was no good anymore, when he really struggled in 2004. You know what I mean?
That's his second concussion.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a Solomon Torres fastball that hit him and his helmet shattered. One of the most scariest things I ever remember seeing.
David Lowry writing in from Krakow, Poland, where it's almost 4 a.m.
100% right on this. Yep.
Said Lofton called him out. So.
Yep. So that was in 2003. And what made Lofton mad is that it just seemed like Sammy. This was the other thing the teammates would get mad about, was always swinging for the fences, regardless of the situation. You all know how we loved when Rizzo would choke up on the bat with two strikes and somehow just get the bat on the ball. But Sosa, you know, sometimes all you needed was a single or a sac fly, make contact. And he's just, you know, swinging out of his shoes. And that would drive some of the teammates nuts, is not playing situational ball, missing cutoff bands.
I feel like that same sort of thing happened with Chris Bryant. And people were annoyed with me because I was always like, KB just has one approach. He has no different anything. He just goes and does the one thing, regardless whether it works or not. And people would get on me.
I mean, you want Sammy Bunton? You know,
it's the same thing. I mean, some of these guys, that's just what they do. You know, I mean, and KB maybe had a more, less go for the fences, but KB really only had one thing that he was up there doing.
So
and
Crawley,
he never expanded the zone, regardless of what the ump had been doing the entire nine innings of the game. He would just be mad that he got struck out at a ball just below his knees, and he'd go Crawley, walk away.
I wanted you to weigh in on one other topic because we have to go to commercials soon. But you know, you hate Miller Park. You hate because you've been in Miller Park jail. Railroaded into the jail. You didn't deserve it. And their people were violent to you and your brother. And ever since then, you've kind of always made a scene at Miller Park. And we've all known for years that the Brewers were cheating somehow, whether they whether they were turning on the fans or, you know, or you, Darvish, talking about Yelich's eyes looking this way or that. We have now confirmation of some, I wouldn't call it cheating. It is sign stealing for sure, but they were doing it, and it's come out in 2018. A guy named Eric Kratz, who was playing for the Brewers at the time in 2018. If you remember, this is the year that 95 wins was not enough to win the Central. We had game 163, which we lost, and we lost the wild card to the Rockies, and it was a pretty disappointing year. And one of the reasons is because every time that Wilson Contreras was behind the plate, the Cubs wouldn't let him call the game. So they had Brandon freaking Hyde calling the game. And they were just looking to the dugout and seeing what Brandon Hyde was calling. And they knew what was coming every time. And now, normally I'd be like, okay, well, what were the results of this? And it actually, the Cubs held the record for the season. They won more games against the Brewers than they lost. But let me put up this game log from that year, though.
Yeah, but I thought they lost like 5 of 7 down
at
the stretch.
And no, look at it. It's totally lopsided.
Yeah.
Once they figured out after June 11th, once they figured out how to steal the signs, and I don't know how many of these games Contreras had started, but look at down the stretch. Won in October, they won in September, they won they won every game in September. They swept us in Oh, no, they didn't sweep us, but they won most of the games after June. They only lost three of the games after June, and they won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah.
8 games.
Well, you know, it's so funny how everybody's like, oh, you know, the whole book on Contreras is how bad he was behind the plate and the things that he is doing and all this stuff. And then you find out it was like, well, I mean, they also, you know, on top of that, they were just fucking stealing the signs straight out of the dugout. Like, the Cubs were putting him in a terrible position.
Well, I will tell you that a lot of the pitchers did not like working with Wilson. And so a lot of the, you know, when Yan Gomes, I remember when the first time Kyle Hendricks threw to him, he just made it a clear point to praise Yan Gomes and the way he called a game. And so I just think that there is probably, they didn't want him calling the games. They just should have figured out early on, hey, how are they doing so damn well? How do they seem to know what's coming? Basically what happens is Hyde's got a card and he's just putting fingers down right on the card. I mean, it's just that was essentially it.
He's putting fingers down, and it's like little league fingers. One's a fastball, two's curveball, three's changeup. That's all he does.
So, I mean, in all hindsight, you know what I mean? That one is so frustrating because that was the one that really shattered the Cubs. That was that 2018 team really you thought had a chance. They just could not beat the Brewers down the stretch. And Danny, I'm sure you remember this. I was there at game 163, and I was in the wild card game. So basically, I got to watch two teams celebrate against the Cubs on the field, which is like anytime I've been to, I can't even tell you how many times I've seen a team win in the postseason at Wrigley Field. I saw it twice that year. I saw it in 2003 with the Marlins. I saw it in 2007 with the Diamondbacks, 2015 against the Mets. It's the worst thing because when a team celebrates on your field in the postseason, it's dead quiet. It literally is like a morgue. Like it's horrific. You could actually hear the players like jumping and screaming and yelling, and it's just like the worst thing. And that was, like I said, 163 in the wild card. I'll never forget that. That was the worst. And the worst part about it was that wild card game. Like, what did Joe Madden used to say? I'm a little stitious. I get late to the wild card game and I get a parking spot literally like on Clifton. I'm literally like 50 feet from the ballpark. Then as I'm walking in, I bump into Mike Ditka. I'm like, oh my God, this is my day. This is going to be, Cubs are going to win. And they just could not get a damn run.
Yeah.
Offense was broken.
Yeah. We should have been learning to steal their signs. Well, now we've got Craig Counsell, who probably was all about stealing the Cubs signs this year and be like, look at these idiots. That guy's just standing there in the dugout going 1, 2, 3. It's just frustrating that we would do something so stupid. You know, that it's like, I'm not going to be mad about something that's 5 years old, but like we all knew something was going on, and it just kind of gave me, I don't know if you felt this way when you saw this story. It made it all make a little bit more sense.
We didn't look as like conspiracy theorists there. There was actual truth to something going on. I mean, the big one on Twitter was that they were messing with the lights. At Miller Park. That was another conspiracy theory. There was all, everyone had a theory.
What they had to do against all the other teams because they had to have much more of a thing, you know, but instead against the Cubs, you know, the batter just had to actually just step out of the box and turn and look, just see what was coming in.
Wasn't it? It was the Yu Darvish, I believe, had said about Christian Yelich that his eyes moved, that his eyes look away or something like that.
He's looking to the corner.
Yeah. He's looking at his coach to tell him what's coming.
Well, and Darvish is the most skittish of any pitcher ever about this because of what happened with the Astros.
Yeah.
Almost ruined his career.
I think we're just going to keep hearing about more and more cheating scandals, whether they come out in the moment or whether they come out later. Somebody like Eric Kratz is going to be like sitting on a bar stool somewhere after his playing days and tell you about how they stole the season from the Cubs because
Crawley's going to be in border books talking to Eric Kratz. Like, so what was going on? Like, that's how this shit is broken, man.
That's how you find Crawley, the scoops, baby.
Crawley hanging out where the players hang out, or the library, whoever. He's like
where the senior citizens hang out, but the cookies are good.
Yeah, exactly. Free sugar, free cookies. So I don't know. It was just a little frustrating. It is, once again, I'm not going to get mad about something that happened that long ago, but, Carly, you want to, I don't know if you want to stick around. I promised you Christmas carols, but of course we're running all late now, but, I know
what?
You had your
on the San Ranto show.
Yeah.
No, but
we do have to take a,
we have nothing to talk about tonight.
Yeah. Well, we got to get into the Cubs sightings. Like, Jorge Alfaro. We've already talked about Alfaro.
Yeah. But- yeah. I got all confused when you went to Jorge Alfaro. I'm like, wait, that's like, a long
well,
way down.
Well, IFG here. Brought him up. She brought him up.
I mean, so any excuse, right? Like,
yeah. Any excuse to take a look at you just sexy wanted to just, yeah. Alfaro.
Okay, I'm with you.
You can stick around if you want. We're just going to go through a few things. Then we'll get to the Christmas Cubs Miss Carols. But
All right, let's get rolling.
All right, we'll be right back. Patreon.com/Sunranto is where you become a member. But just give us a moment, and we'll be right back. All over Chicagoland, there are thirsty, frazzled, overworked Cubs podcasters who are struggling to survive one more baseball season in the dog-eat-dog world of unpaid content creation. But it doesn't have to be this way. You can make a difference. Become a super ranter at patreon.com/sunranto, where your support ensures that poor, sad, pathetic, ugly, loser Cubs podcasters can pay for tickets and beer, and in turn, line the pockets of the baseball oligarch Ricketts family. Just $1 a month can buy a scorecard. $5 a month can pay for guitar strings to write a Cubs song. And $10 a month almost buys one beer at Wrigley Field. Cubs content creators are the lowest pieces of pond scum garbage that slither over the face of this planet. But super ranters help them get drunk and screw off at baseball games. What do you get out of it? The Sun Ranto Show, delivered to your podcatcher without stupid advertisements like the one you're seeing and hearing right now. Plus, at other Super Ranter levels, you can get Cubs music, access to private Sun Ranto pages, the Ranter calendar, and special thanks and Ranter recognition in our live broadcasts, plus eligibility for monthly prizes. What does Sun Ranto get out of it? Your money. For tickets and beer, go to patreon.com/sunranto. That's patreon.com/sunranto. And become a Super Ranter today.